Hello, friends! At this very moment in time, Almighty God is carrying out a miracle which has spanned the course of thousands of years of human history. But this miracle I speak of, it's not a mystery. In fact, you can see the physical parallel of this spiritual miracle in person. You just have to know where to look. Today I want to talk to you about one of the most fantastic ongoing events in the world today. During the webcast last Sabbath, Mr. Deemer discussed the ancient Israelites and the miracle God performed at the bitter waters of Marah. Next Sunday is the completion of our 50-day count, bringing us to the Feast of Pentecost. So in the sermonette time today, I would like to expound upon a different type of miracle, the miracle of grafting. During his sermon, Mr. Deemer also referenced the woman at the well. You can read this for yourself, John chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. But why is this significant? Well, in John chapter 4, Jesus left Judea for Galilee. But John writes that he had to go through Samaria. Now, Samaria was a little bit further west than Jesus would normally have traveled when going to Galilee. Instead of going in a straight shot, he veered off to the left. This is significant because not only did he make the effort to go out of his way to visit a certain people, he went out of his way to visit the Samaritans. Can you believe it? This was a people who were disliked by most Jews. This is a people who were thought to be unclean and maybe a lower class of person. And John's account tells us that many believed just because of his interactions with the woman at the well. So today I want to draw some analogies between the grafting process and the incorporation into the family of God of those people who are not physically part of the tribes of ancient Israel. Now, some of us may have distant Jewish ancestry, but very few of us in the churches of God today are of 100% Israelite descent. And so I'd like to set the stage for this comparison by reading from a familiar passage with the aim of bringing it to life. As we're beginning to turn to John chapter 15, I'd like Mr. August to please put up a definition of a word. The term I want to define is rootstock. So I want to define the term rootstock. Anyway, I'll read it for you. A rootstock is a part of a plant, often an underground part, from which new above ground growth can be produced. It can also be described as a stem with a well-developed root system to which a bud from another plant is grafted. All right, now we can open our Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. This is a very familiar passage, one that we often read at Passover and hopefully other times throughout the year. John chapter 15 and verse 1. This is Jesus Christ speaking. And he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away," like Mr. Schultz mentioned in the first message. "And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine," verse 5. "You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." Great. So now let's make some analogies. And the first analogy I want to make is that grafting takes place in the spring. If you're not sure what the term grafting means, just bear with me for a moment and we'll get there together. Consider the growth of God's church at the beginning of Acts. On that day of Pentecost, shortly after the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it says about 3,000 souls, about 3,000 people were added to the church. What God did is he grafted in a bunch of new fruit-producing branches into the vine. And so let's briefly explain this concept of grafting. Well, throughout the year, plants harvest sunlight, and they create glucose through this process of photosynthesis. And what they do is they store it up in their roots for the next year. Obviously, that's super simplified, but we really don't have time to go into all the tree biology that I would love to talk about today. So in the springtime, as the plants begin to wake up and they begin to require food for new growth, the newly grafted plant parts can take advantage of the stored nutrients in the host plant's root system. Now in grape growing, you have a grapevine which grows a specific type of grapes. But let's say you're sick of that type of grapes, or let's say you want to grow a different type of grapes. Well, what do? Well, a vine dresser would take their grapevine and they would cut the top part of the grapevine off, leaving just the root stock. And they would then graft in buds from a type of grape that they did want to grow. And as we continue to draw analogies, this brings me to the next one. In order to graft a new bud onto an existing grapevine or onto an existing root stock, the grapevine must be cut. It must be damaged. Now, in practice, an undercut is made with a knife into the existing root stock, and a fresh bud, still on a small piece of twig taken from an alternate vine, is then placed between the sliced bark and the inner cambium layer of the vine, enabling a new bud to take advantage of the stored food as it begins to move up the vertical cells of the existing rootstock where it was stored in the roots. So let's go to our second scripture, Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, because the analogy we're drawing here is that this vine has to first be damaged, or it had to first be damaged in order to graft in new buds. Isaiah chapter 53, and we'll look at verse 5 and 6. This is an analogy, as you can imagine, to Jesus Christ. And it says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all. And so if it were not for Jesus Christ willingly sacrificing his life, his body, well, mankind as a whole, they wouldn't have the opportunity presented to take part in this living water. But does this act of sacrifice alienate those who are Israelites by nature? Well, of course not. Peter stated that this promise of living water was to the Jews, to the children, and to all who are afar off, which is a phrase commonly used in reference to the Gentiles. It says, as many as the Lord our God would call. The reference there is Acts 2, verse 39. And the next analogy I want to move on to is that it takes time for new buds to heal and to properly graft into the original rootstock. It takes time for these new buds to heal. Now, when damage occurs to a cambium layer of a woody plant, it needs to divert some of its resources to healing that wound. Likewise, when a new person has been grafted into the vine, or added to God's church, their inclusion into the body, into the group, it takes time. It's not immediate. They don't immediately start producing fruit. And it requires acceptance on behalf of both parties. The vine and the bud both need to be mutually accepting of one another. If we use that analogy to the Christian lifestyle, when we have new members added to the body, they should not be expected to immediately start producing fruit. It takes time. It takes, in the course of viticulture, it takes about one growing season before a newly grafted bud will begin to produce fruit. This is according to a San Francisco journalist named Julie Richards. And a bud that has been grafted several years ago, what is expected? Well, it's expected that it should be producing fruit. It's been grafted in for years. But a bud that has just been grafted in, say, this spring, 2 weeks ago, should we expect that it should be producing fruit? Well, no, it's too new. Let's turn now to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And we'll go to verse 43. Luke chapter 12 and verse 43, Jesus said, "Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes." Now we'll go to verse 47. "And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." So these new buds in the vine, they haven't been given a lot of time. They're not expected to produce a lot of fruit. But these buds who have been given a couple years, they should be producing fruit by now. And so my last point that I want to mention is the vine dresser, in effect, God, is the one who selects the buds to be grafted into the vine, representative of Jesus Christ and his church. So in John 6, verse 44, Christ said, "No one can come to me unless the Father draws them." So the bud does not decide on its own accord that it wants to join the vine. Nor do other buds decide to select the next bud to be grafted in. And why do things have to happen this way? Well, the vineyard manager, the vine dresser, God, selects certain varieties of grapes to graft onto the existing vine as he sees fit, which is exactly what God is doing. If we look at 1 Corinthians 12, Paul tells us in a similar manner, God places members in the body of Christ as he chooses. He gives them spiritual gifts so that they may benefit the body of Christ as a whole. The vine dresser knows what the vine needs, but the buds do not. God knows what type of individuals the body of Christ needs during this day and age. We as individuals on our own, we don't. All of mankind will have an opportunity for salvation, but it is not for everybody to be one of the first fruits of the harvest. Like was already mentioned, there are two different harvest seasons. Some will be second fruits, and that's okay. There's a lot of other different points I could make. When I was writing this out on my legal pad, I had at least two or three other points, and we could talk about plants for an hour or more, but for today, I'd like you to just remember these few analogies as we count the last days towards the Feast of Pentecost, and those analogies again are the first century Church of God. It began in the spring, the same time when new buds are grafted onto the rootstock. For a new bud to be grafted into an existing vine, the vine must be damaged, and this is exemplified when Jesus suffered for us so that repentance unto salvation could be available to the Gentiles. Next, new buds take time to heal and produce fruit, just like new Christians do. And finally, God, typified by the vine dresser, is the one who selects new growth within his vine. I wish you all a happy Feast of Pentecost in advance, and just want to say let's enjoy this modern miracle, and let's pray that we can be valuable parts of the body of Christ and producers of high quality fruits of the vine.